Good evening and welcome to Digging Deeper here on the Living Faith Television Network. Digging Deeper is a ministry of Green Valley Baptist Church in Lebanon, Virginia, and we are so glad that you have taken the time to join us this evening as we continue on speaking about the rapture and the crowns. Our text tonight comes from Matthew, the 25th chapter, beginning in verse 1, and I'll read down through verse 13. So if you have a Bible there at home, you want to follow along, Matthew 25, 1 to 13. Jesus said, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, 'Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, 'Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh.'" Well, as we've been talking here about the rapture, there is a time coming, and a time coming right soon, when the trump is going to sound and a shout is going to come from heaven, and the church is going to ride heavenward. And those who do not go are going to be left behind. And friend, I can think of no greater tragedy in all of life than to know that there is a Savior that has been provided, and His name is Jesus, and you refuse to accept Jesus Christ by repentance and faith. Oh, what a tragedy that is going to be in that awful day. Do you realize that the Bible describes what will occur for you if you are left behind? In the 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning in verse 3, we read, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God and that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness." Well, you know as well as I do, friend, that the power of lawlessness is currently being held in check by the Holy Spirit and by the Church of Jesus Christ here upon this earth. But at the rapture, the Church of Jesus Christ is removed from the earth, and the Holy Spirit's strength is going to be taken out of the way. And at that moment, the world will have no born-again believers anywhere. All the Christian workers in hospitals, social work, nursing homes, orphanages, rescue missions, relief agencies, gone. Every Christian in law enforcement and health care, gone. And of course, many churches are going to sit empty. In addition to the great void in the service community, will be the commitments of God, commencement of God's judgment on this rebellious world. Now understand that God says he will send a strong delusion to those who are left behind. Don't be left behind. And the reason God is going to allow this strong delusion to take place And the reason you will believe Satan's lie is because you would not repent of your sin and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You would not receive his so great salvation. Instead, you rejected him, and thus you had pleasure in unrighteousness. And so you will be damned because you did not realize and see your need for Jesus. You laughed at him. You scorned him. And you rejected him. Today, Jesus Christ stands ready to receive you, to forgive you, to lift you out of the slavery and bondage of sin, and to set you free. God's word gives strong encouragement that you be not left behind. In fact, make sure you're not left behind. You need to be ready because the rapture could take place at any moment. And Jesus speaking here, Matthew 25, is talking about that time, that day of the rapture, when those who are ready will go home to heaven when he comes. He is the bridegroom of the church, his bride. And one day soon, the bridegroom is going to call his bride out of this earth. Will you be ready? Believe in him today. I can't stress that enough. If you're lost tonight, if you can't point to a time in your life when you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior through repentance, you need to get ready tonight. The Lord knows who are his. He gives us a picture here of 10 virgins, and 5 were ready and 5 were not. Jesus knew the 5 who were ready, and he knows those who are not. Are you ready should the Lord return tonight? You see, one day soon, Jesus is coming. And so you need to have your lamps trimmed. You need to have it full of oil. You need to be burning. Full of oil means it's a symbol of the Holy Spirit at home in your heart. You're in a good relationship with God. You're seeking to live out the will of God in your life. And so, don't delay another moment. The matter is urgent. If you do not know Jesus Christ, you need to repent and receive Jesus Christ tonight. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Father, as we continue on here in just a moment with this message tonight, we pray for your mercy and your grace to speak unto each and every heart. Lord, as we move now from talking about what will take place at the rapture and those who will be left behind in the great tribulation. Lord, as we move now, let us focus in and let us learn about the rewards that you have for believers in heaven. Let us turn our attention to you and to the time when all believers will stand before the Bema Seat of Christ to receive their reward. Lord, would you guide us tonight? In Christ's name we pray. Amen. What's going to happen after the rapture? Well, we know here on earth the great tribulation is going to take place. But what about the believer? Well, friend, the believer is going to appear before the Bema Seat of Christ. You see, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 and 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And so this verse of Scripture reminds us that while all hell is breaking loose here on earth, and on those who are left behind, believers are in heaven, and they are getting prepared for the wedding supper of the Lamb by appearing before the judgment seat of Christ. And we will be rewarded, the Bible teaches, for the things that we have done for Christ with the right heart motives. John wrote to believers in 2 John and 8, look to yourselves, take heed that we receive a full reward. Now, that phrase, look to yourselves, means believers are to take heed. It means our lives down here are not to be lived for ourselves, but for Christ and Christ alone. And we are to be engaged in his kingdom work. After all, only what's done for Christ will last. Do you believe it, friend? I pray you believe it. because it's true. Only what's done for Christ will last. Does this mean that we will have to give an accounting? This is one of the questions that a lot of people wonder about. Does this mean that when we get home to heaven and stand before the bema seat of Christ, we're going to have to give an account for all the sins we committed? Well, absolutely not. Absolutely not, because the psalmist reminds us that as far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our transgressions from us. The believer's sins were judged at the cross, and they were forgiven, and they were totally forgiven. And this is why the cross is so important. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." And if you're going to go home to the Father, you've got to come by way of the cross, that your sins can be judged at the cross, that you can repent of them and receive His so great salvation and His merciful forgiveness for all of the sins that we have committed. And so beyond that, the Bible also tells us, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 through 15, it clarifies what happens to the bad things, those things, those sins that we've all committed. "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work, what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire." And so those sins that we committed in our lifetime, they were burned up already by God's holy fire. When were they burned up? At the cross, when you came to know Christ as your Lord and Savior. And this passage here reminds us and is a strong encouragement to each one of us to be certain that we are building our lives so that we can be rewarded. Hey, who doesn't want to be rewarded? Family and friends, Jesus in Revelation 4:1, John wrote, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he wrote that he heard a voice commanding him to come up hither. That voice was the voice of the Lord Jesus. And this is a picture of the rapture of the church as well. And like we've been saying all along, one day soon, we're going to hear the trump of God and the call to come up hither. Well, as we've already mentioned, we're going to stand before the bema seat of Christ, each in our own turn, and our works are going to be judged, and God is going to reward us. And so God wants to speak to us for just a few moments here in the remaining part of this message about the believer's crowns. Because Scripture teaches there are five distinct crowns that we as believers can receive. This does not mean that each of us are going to receive all five crowns, but they are there. And so it is possible for you and I as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ to receive all five. And the first crown is the incorruptible crown. And I want you to hear these words that Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. And he says in this passage here that life is a competition. And so he writes, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth a prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is tempered in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Well, all of us are competing by the way we go about living our Christian life. Now, we are not competing against one another, but we are competing against ourselves. And the measure of how well we are succeeding is measured by the depth of our obedience. So let's ask a couple of questions from this passage. First, are you running aimlessly? Do you know that the only way to run is to run with a purpose and run with direction? And yet, some people never seem to know how to run. They're like a ball in a pinball machine. First they're here, then they're there, then they're up there, then they're down here. They're all over the place. And they don't run with any purpose. They don't live their life with any direction. And so what happens is they take one step forward, two steps back, one step sideways, three steps back. They're all over the place because they are running aimlessly. And a Christian life is a life of discipline. And this means that each of us is going to have to exercise the hardest discipline there is in life, and that is self-discipline. Listen, it's the only way that we're going to receive the imperishable crown. But then he goes on and Paul talks about a second crown, and he writes of this crown in 1 Thessalonians 2:19. This is what he writes: "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming?" And so he's writing here about a soul winner's crown. Do you share the second greatest story ever told? Do you even know what the second greatest story ever told was? Friend, that's your story. The story of how you came to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The story of how God changed your life. That's the second greatest story that has ever been told. And people need to hear your story. Guess what the person who shared Christ with you will receive? They're going to receive this crown right here. And I don't think there is any greater joy in life than knowing that God used you in bringing someone to know him as their Lord and Savior. But you know what? The sad thing is, not many Christians are going to receive this crown because not many followers or followers of God, if you will, are seeking to fulfill the Great Commission by going and telling others of what Jesus has done for them. And again, you have to compete for it by going and telling others what Jesus has done for you. Now there's a third crown, and that's the crown of righteousness. And Paul wrote about this, 2 Timothy 4:8. This crown is given to those who have fought the good fight of faith. This is what he wrote. Paul wrote, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Now listen to me. You can't fight if you don't compete. Some folks think that God is just going to wink at their laziness and wink at the aimless, careless way they live their Christian life. But, you know, God's not going to do that. And though they'll be saved, the Bible says it'll be yet so as by fire. And they'll not wear this crown simply because they failed to keep the faith. What do you think Paul meant here by keep the faith? Since the folks will be saved but not have this crown, when I think about this, to me it is simply this. Can people see Jesus in you? Are you walking an obedient and living an obedient Christian life? Do the words of your mouth match the life that you're living? See, some people live as a hypocrite, you know. Do what I say, not what I do. Do the words of your mouth match the life that you're living? And then Peter wrote, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and Peter wrote about the crown of glory. And Peter said, "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." Well, who is this crown for? Well, I believe it's for those pastors and deacons, trustees and Sunday school teachers, small group ministry leaders, the faithful sound people, the ones who run the technicians in your church who are there week in and week out, along with those that are involved in a bunch of other various ministries within the church who will wear this crown one day. Now, verses 2 and 3 are the key to how we are to be doing whatever area of ministry God has called us to. He says, don't do it for money. Do it for me. Be of a ready mind. Don't be a lord over God's heritage, but be an example to the flock. And it is summed up in these words, be an example that others can easily follow. The fifth crown is this. James spoke about it. It's a crown of life. This is the crown given to the person whose profession matches their possession. I want you to hear what James said. He said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Now, we're all going to be tempted in life. But James says here, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. In other words, he doesn't give in to it. For when he is tried, and he doesn't give in to it, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. You know, the only way to get out of temptation is to love God more than you love the temptations you're tempted with. And so this crown's not going to be given to make believers, but to believers only, for it is the most precious of all the crowns. It is the crown of eternal life. And we know that not all who profess Christ possess Christ, because Jesus said as much throughout the Gospels, and he said it here tonight. Those five that were not ready, and they had to go and get some oil, they came, but the bridegroom had already come. And they knocked on the door, and they said, Lord, Lord, open to us. And Jesus said to them, I know you not. Well, friend, does God know you tonight? Are you living the kind of life that you can say, absolutely, Jesus Christ knows me because I'm living for him? You see, in order to do that, we've got to examine ourselves to make certain that we are in the faith. You see, it's not a matter of what we profess. It's a matter of what we possess that counts. Are you living in a way that shows you are competing for the crown of life? Now, one way to tell is through one of my favorite Bible verses, 2 Corinthians 5:15. Here's what that verse says, and that he died for all, that they who live should no longer henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him who died for them and rose again. Does your life show that you are living for him and him alone? Who comes first in your life? The easy way to tell that is, who do you put first in your life? And what do you put first in your life? Is it God, or is it something else? Does your life show that we're living for him? Let's make an application as we close tonight. One day, all Christians are going to appear for their rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. When I think about that, I think wise is the Christian who constantly remembers that only what's done for Christ will last. 2 John 8, again, tells us to take heed, to be certain that we will receive a full reward. Are you doing that? Revelation 4:10 teaches that the 24 elders will fall down and cast their crowns. The 24 elders in the book of Revelation are representative of the whole church from Pentecost to the rapture. And they were before God in heaven. And we're at the great worship service. We're at the great marriage supper of the Lamb. And as we worship and praise the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, we cast our crowns before his throne. Now, can you imagine being at the great marriage supper of the Lamb and having no crown, having nothing to throw at the Savior's feet? Can I ask you tonight, how would you feel? And the Bible teaches that there are going to be some who are going to be present, and this is going to be their lot, according to 1 John 2:28. There will be those believers who will be ashamed when Christ comes because they have not been competing. All they did was accept Christ, but they did nothing else with the time that God gave them. And as a result, they did not stand up because it won't stand. Their works don't stand up because their works won't stand the test of fire. And I just want to encourage you tonight, first of all, receive the Lord Jesus Christ by repentance. Receive the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And then the second thing I want to encourage you in is make your life count. Live for Christ. And live for Christ alone. And you go out there and compete every day against yourself. You say, today I'm going to walk with Jesus just a little bit better. Today I'm going to sacrifice just a little bit more. Today, through His help and His enablement, I'm going to ask Jesus to make me all that I can be for Jesus Christ. Friend, that's how you make your life count. It's also how you can be certain that you're going to have a crown to cast before the throne. Listen to me. Jesus Christ is coming again, and He's coming again soon. Oh, what a great day it's going to be when we stand before our Lord in heaven. Well, tonight, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you that opportunity to receive Him. You just simply bow your head and you pray sincerely from your heart, Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and forgive me of my sins. I am repenting of them right now. Lord, I am putting my faith and my trust in You for Your so great salvation and Your forgiveness. Thank You for being my Lord. Lord, I want to make my life count. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, friend, if you prayed that prayer from your heart sincerely tonight, I want you to know that you are saved. And on your screen right now are some various ways you can connect with us here at Green Valley. And we want you to connect with us so that we can get a Bible into your hands, so that we can pray for you. We want to be able to pray for you. We want to be able to put a Bible into your hands, and we want to be able to help you in your new walk with Christ. God is good. And now may the God of all grace and glory watch over us and comfort us both now and forever until we come together again here on Digging Deeper. In Jesus' name, amen.